Greetings to each one. It's been a blessing to be here already. It's been inspiring to hear what has been shared. Before we go any further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the beginning of this message. We turn our eyes to you. Pray that your word would open up to us, that it would come alive. Thank you for the life that flows from your word. Pray that you would bless each one that is here today. Pray that you would bring those things to my mind that you would have me to share, anything that should not be shared. Pray that you would keep that from me. So, Lord, we just commit this time to you. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was blessed with the thought of Christ being able, God being able. For a message, let's turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter. As I was reading through 2 Peter here, in my personal devotions, there's a phrase that jumped out at me, something that was repeated several times in the first part of this chapter, and got my attention, and I thought this would be something to dig into and develop into a message. Maybe what I ought to do is we'll read 11 verses here and see if someone can figure out what that phrase might be. I guess there's a number of things that are repeated, but 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, anybody want to take a guess? Gary.
I actually have heard a line in my Bible, something I noticed. I don't know if this is what you're after or not. Verse 2, knowledge of God. Verse 3, knowledge of him. Verse 8, knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You got it. I read through and I noticed those three times. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And verse 8 says that ye be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, that is the focus of the message, but I'd like to look at these verses here. Go down through, might be a little more of a expository of this part of the message. Just look at what is being said here. Verse 1, Simon Peter. Simon Peter, who was Simon Peter? Simon Peter was that vocal one that got in trouble for what he said sometimes. But here he is near the end of his life, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I believe Peter has something to say. He was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. He was the writer. And who was the audience? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. What is that talking about? To them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Like precious faith. That's a phrase that's used, I think it's in the book of Jude as well. It's one of those that kind of catches my attention as well. And I say, what? What does it really mean? Well, let's think about faith being precious. Think about it that way. Precious. Our salvation is precious. Jesus Christ is precious to us because he gave his life. Precious, precious blood. That precious redemption. Like precious faith. It's a faith that Peter has experienced, and it's to those that have also experienced the same faith. Like precious. It could also mean like precious, looking at the Jews and the Greeks, Gentiles. It was a faith that was to both Jews and Gentiles. Okay. Now, how was that faith obtained? It says, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. A couple different ways you could look at that phrase of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Through our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe twisting it around a little bit, but if you look at the phrase, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, and down in verse 8 says the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, I guess there's not a big difference looking at it either way, looking at God and Christ separately, or looking at as one. Through the righteousness of Christ. I like to think about it this way. It's because of the righteousness of Christ that we have salvation, that salvation was given. Through the righteousness of God, you could look at that and say, God was righteous in that he gave us salvation. So that's a blessing as well. Through, looking at the word through, now that word comes up in our phrase that we're looking at, through the knowledge of God, through the righteousness of God and our Savior. I was trying to think of a picture that we can relate to. Thinking about that word through, maybe the pipe under the lane out here. It went through the pipe, and the righteousness of God and our Savior is that pipe that got it from him to us. Maybe that's a little stretch, but as we go on, maybe we'll expand a little bit more on that. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied. Does it say added or multiplied? It says multiplied. Grace and peace. God's favor and influence upon us is grace and peace. Peace with God and peace with our fellow men. Be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Here we have our phrase that we're looking at. Through the knowledge of God. Through. Here again, it's the thing that carries through the knowledge of God. That is something that is something that we do. And that knowledge is precise and correct knowledge. Knowledge of things ethical, meaning morality, things that are right among us, and knowledge of things divine, pertaining to God. So it's the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ that brings grace and peace to us. Verse 3, according as his divine power, we heard about that he is able. This fits right with that. The divine power hath given unto us all things. Another term that we heard in the opening, everything, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness. How many of us would like to have that? All of us would say, yes, I want that. All things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we get it? Through the knowledge of him. That knowledge. Our knowledge of him. Through the conduit, the pipe. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, here is a place where maybe you can pick on King James a little bit. There's a word here that should be the knowledge of him that hath called us by glory and virtue. In other words, we're not looking at us being called to glory and virtue as much as we are looking at called us by his own glory and virtue. We're looking at Christ's glory and virtue, and we're saying, I want it. Not that we're being commanded to do it or advised to have that glory and virtue, but through the knowledge of him that hath called us by his own glory and virtue. His glory and virtue is what made it attractive for us. Now, it's not out of place that we should then, after we have salvation, to then get a hold of glory and virtue in our own lives. We'll have that a little later here. But once again, through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of Christ, through that knowledge is how that we, let's back up, what are we receiving? His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. So we gain that through our knowledge of Him. We're going to talk about knowledge a little bit later. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great and precious promises. Because we have these things that pertain to life and godliness, we are given exceeding great and precious promises. Exceeding great, large, and valuable promises. Once again, doesn't something well up in your heart and say, I want it. I want it. That you might be partakers of the divine nature. How many times is my nature wanting to be in control? We say, I need more of a divine nature in me. That you might be partakers of the divine nature. Can I stick in here the phrase? Through the knowledge of Him. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that word escaped is not something that we think about. When we think of escaping something, it missed us. We escaped death. But here, it is the idea of having fled from. Not just escape, but we have something to do. We have escaped it because we fled from it. From the corruption that is in the world through lust, that lust being a desire for wrong things. We have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, verse 5, it changes a little bit. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I'd like to look at that first. Add to your faith. What we looked at up to this point, you could say, is our faith, our salvation, and what we have received. And we are to add to that. In other words, faith is the foundation. I'd like to back up just a little bit before we go forward, and that is giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. We need to put our hearts to it. It's something that we do. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith. Generously supplement is the idea that is given to that word add. Supplement your faith with. Now, what are we supplementing? Add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtuous course of thought, feeling, action. Virtue is moral excellence. And we add to our virtue knowledge. Knowledge is the understanding of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Slightly different definition than the knowledge of God and knowledge of Him that called us. This knowledge could be moral wisdom, such as seen in right living. I think I did say understanding of things lawful and unlawful for Christians. So we add to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance. What is temperance? Self-control. We learn to bring our lives into balance. And to temperance, patience. Patience is steadfastness, constancy, endurance. That continuing on. To patience, we add godliness or holiness, reverence and respect toward God. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness, thinking about in our brotherhood, love for brothers and sisters. And then from brotherly kindness, we add charity. That is the agape love, which is the highest form of love. And that love is to all people. Now, verse 8, for if these things, what's it referring to? These things, these virtues, or that list that we just went over. If these things be in you and abound, first of all, they're there, not just a little bit now and then, but abound. They make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the thing I'd like to lift up here is these things, if they're in you and abound, you will be not barren or unfruitful. That means you will be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We apply ourselves, okay, we have the faith as a foundation. These things are built upon that foundation. If these things are in us and abound, we are going to be fruitful in our knowledge of Christ. Our knowledge of Christ. And it's that knowledge that brings us grace and peace in verse 2, that knowledge that gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So, how important is it to have that knowledge of Him? I see that as very important, and I say, I want it. I'm not here saying that I've attained, but I want it. I want more of it. Because in verse 9, he says, he that lacketh these things, same these things, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So maybe someone has begun in the faith, but has not applied themselves to developing his Christian life. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The foundation is there. Let's build upon it. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You like that? Never fall. So if we fall, maybe we can say we're falling short on this list here. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So an entrance. Come in, ye blessed of the Lord. And it shall be abundantly, not just, just barely made it. No, it's an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom. And we say, I want it. I want to be there. I want to be part of it. And just for anyhow, look at verse 12. Peter was getting to the end of his life, and he was saying, I'm going to stir you up by way of remembrance. Put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I'm not pointing my finger at anybody here saying, you don't have it. I'm just saying, let's enter into it. Let's be encouraged to move forward and keep building and looking forward to being part of that everlasting kingdom. How do we get there? I would say through the knowledge of Him. Through the knowledge of Him. And then building on our faith. So, now, to put a little meat on the bones. How can I develop or expand on, or whatever word you want to give it, that knowledge of God? How do I get to know Him? We see the need of it, right? But how do I get to know Him? How do I get to know a person? God is a person, right? Maybe I should ask for some responses here. How do I get to know somebody? What are some ways?
Communicate.
Spending time with them.
First vice is giving all diligence.
Giving all diligence. Take some effort. Okay, obedience. If you love me, keep my commandments. Any other thoughts? How do I get to know somebody? I think it's been quite a bit of good answers. Anybody else? Jim. Okay, showing interest in what they are interested in. Good. So how do I get to know Him? How do I get to know a person? These are all good answers. Observation. Just taking time to see how the person functions. The next question, there's many different levels of knowing someone, right? How good, maybe what are some of the levels? When I see someone, I might recognize a face. This is, I saw you before somewhere. Right? I know. I recognize the face. what would be another level, putting a name to the face. Yep, I know that's Josiah. Okay? But do I really know Josiah? I don't know why I picked on you, but that's where my eyes landed. Do I really know Josiah? I believe by spending time with, communicating, all that will develop. Something I just thought about. Getting to know somebody takes time. So getting to know God is going to be a process. Step at a time. Okay, what, thinking of that level of knowing someone, meeting a person at church, we know them, yeah, we get to meet Sundays, Wednesday evenings. But isn't there something about that? Yeah, then you go to their house. There's another level. Say, now I know where you live. How about if somebody that I work with every day of the week, don't I learn to know them just a little better than the person that I meet once a week? How about going to another level, husbands and wives? There you have something that is the level goes higher. To such a degree that maybe you know what your partner's thinking, or you know what how they're going to respond in a given situation. What answer they will give to a certain question. Learning to know God. Do we know God? How well do we know Him? When we communicate with God, when we connect with Him, is it a simple hi in the morning and forget about Him till bedtime? Do we learn to know God? Do we really know God that way? Just a little bit. Very little bit. Or do we walk with Him all day long? Walk with Him all day long. I was looking for a book when I was thinking of this subject, and I didn't find the book I was looking for, but I found another one that I thought, well, this would fit real well. How many of you are familiar with the man that was called Brother Lawrence? I see Dean. Not so many, very many hands, but I would recommend getting a hold of this little booklet. The title of the booklet is The Practice of the Presence of God. Now, this is, I'm not lifting this up, I don't want to say it. I'm just wanting to whet your appetite a little bit for what Brother Lawrence experienced. The Practice of the Presence of God. This is from back in the 1600s, and he spent a number of years in a monastery. He was a monk. But he is one that he lived in the presence of God. Now, what we're looking at today, and maybe I should give a title, Given Through the Knowledge of Him. That knowledge, he had a knowledge of God. Lawrence, Brother Lawrence had a knowledge of God. I'd just like to read a little bit to stir that appetite. Just give you a little picture of Brother Lawrence. I guess I'll give this. He was a monk, and he served in the kitchen. Just to give you a little bit of... Here we go. When he had thus in prayer filled his mind with great sentiments of that intimate, infinite being, he went to his work appointed in the kitchen, for he was a cook to the society. There, having first considered severally the things his office required, and when and how each thing was to be done, he spent all the intervals of his time, as well as before as after his work, in prayer. Think of the phrase, pray without ceasing. Here's one that did it. That when he began his business, he said to God, with a filial trust in him, O my God, since thou art with me, and I must now, in obedience to thy commands, apply my mind to these outward things, I beseech thee to grant me the grace to continue in thy presence, and to do this end, and to this end thou prosper me thy assistance. Receive all my works and possess all my affections. As he proceeded in his work, he continued his familiar conversation with his Maker, imploring his grace and offering to him all his actions. Okay, I think I'm going to skip that part. Go on to another. Having found in many books different methods of going to God and diverse practices of the spiritual life, I thought this would serve rather to puzzle me than to facilitate what I sought after. You understand what he's saying there? There was some things given that would take him to God, but he thought it would puzzle him. So, which was nothing but how to become holy gods, completely his. This made me resolve to give the all for the all. So after having given myself wholly to God, that he might take away my sin, I renounced, for the love of him, everything that was not he. And I began to live as if there was none but he and I in the world. I'm walking through life. It's me and God. Sometimes I considered myself before him as a poor criminal at the feet of his judge. At other times I beheld him in my heart as my Father, as my God. I worshipped him in the oftenest that I could, keeping my mind in his holy presence and recalling it as often as I found it wandering from him. I found no small pain in this exercise, yet I continued it, notwithstanding all the difficulties that occurred, without troubling or disquieting myself, when my mind had wandered involuntarily. I made this my business as much all the day long as the appointed times of prayer. For at all times, every hour, every minute, even in the height of my business, I drove away from my mind everything that was capable of interrupting my thought of God. Anything that intersected or turned his heart away from God, he just said, away with it. Okay, just a short one here. We must know before we can love. We must know who God is and be familiar with him before that we can love. In order to know God, we must often think of him. And when we come to love him, we shall also think of him often, for our heart will be with our treasure. This is an argument which well deserves your consideration. If we're in love with God and he is our treasure, our heart will be where our treasure is. Okay, I think I'm going to leave it at that. Can we get a little picture? In whatever I'm doing, to be in that communion with God. Knowing God. Knowing God. Yes. Let's turn a few verses to look at this. Jeremiah 9. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So what are we supposed to be glorying in? Our wisdom, things that we know, our riches? No. But let him glory in that he understandeth and knoweth the Lord. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Turn over to chapter 4. And verse 13. Start at verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Everybody's saying, yes, I want it. Till we all come to unity in the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Colossians. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. No, I'm going to stop there. For this cause, we do not cease to pray for you. Let's pray for each other, that we could continue to gain, to be filled with the knowledge of his will and increasing in the knowledge of God. It's through that knowledge that God's favor is, let's turn back here to the verses. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, and then all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And then if we are going to be fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So our knowledge, our relationship, our lacking for words, but that relationship that we have with God is very important, to know him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do come to you at the close of this message. I just pray that you would help each one of us to diligently seek after those things that would enhance that relationship with you, that knowledge of you. Pray a blessing on each one that is here today. Help us to seek after you and desire to know you with all of our hearts. Pray your blessing on each one. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.